We had opened our discussion of tefillah with two intuitive questions. One was that we tend to think of two different things as tefillah, even though they seem pretty different. There's a very formalized, there's a whole seder right here, a whole seder at tefillah.
And then
there's also very informal. So they say Tehillim, talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Popularized by Rav Nachman Mibreslov under the term Mishtapchus HaNefesh, to just have sort of free-flowing conversations with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Nachman Mibreslov was not the first one to have ever done it. It is nowadays often associated with Rav Nachman, but certainly not exclusively. And the question is, well, which is the real tefillah? They seem very, very different. Can they both be called tefillah? If one is, you have Shemona Esrei, and you have a lot of rules, you have a very formalized, not only formalized structure, formalized timing, but formalized language, versus a very free-flowing, unstructured type of tefillah. To take the idea a step further, I don't think I made this point in Shir the first time around, the Rav develops, both in Lamdas and in Machshava, the notion that Kia Shofar is a form of tefillah, a wordless prayer. And one of the rayas is that there are many mitzvahs that we do in shul, before or after Shmon Esrei. We say Kriya Shema in shul, we say Halal in shul, we lain in shul, we shake lulav in shul. All right, but the only two mitzvahs that happen during Shmon Esrei are Birkas Kohanim and Kia Shofar. Maybe also there's a third one, which is tshuva, vidui on Yom Kippur. It happens during Shmona Esrei, right? Particularly in Chadar Sashat, it happens mamash during Shmona Esrei, right? So you have to figure out what does that mean. So I understand because Kohanim is a form of tefillah. Bracha is a tefillah that's just grammatically worded differently. I address myself to the target, to the subject, the object of the tefillah, rather than to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Rather than saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please heal her, Kel Narafan Allah, that's classic tefillah. In the bracha, I would say, not may HaKadosh Baruch Hu please bless him, but may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless you. Yivarech Hashem Yishmerech. I address myself to the one about whom I'm praying, rather than address myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a grammatically different presentation of tefillah. So I understand why Birkas Kohanim is in the midst of Shmoneh Esrei. But what's Shofar doing in the midst of Shmoneh Esrei? So that's the Rav suggests for that and other reasons, a Shofar is a form of tefillah also. We're crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, that works. Sometimes we don't even know what we want. So we call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He should fill the details. It's a very beautiful idea, but the question remains, what does that mean? What do you mean wordless tefillah? It seems like an oxymoron. Hey, I'm a wordless one, that's right. You go to Shemei Kohanim. Well, what's going on? So that's question number one. What is tefillah such that it can encompass all these different models of a formal Shemei Esrei, an unstructured verbal tefillah, wordless tefillah? Question number one. Question number two is that the Gemara in the beginning of Tainus quotes a brisa, which the Rambam sees as a drasha gemura min haTorah, that la'avd b'chol v'avchem, that is only avod shabalev, have yom rezu tefillah. As the Ramban thinks that drasha is an asmachta, he thinks that there is no chiyuv d'oraisa to daven on a regular basis. Ramban agrees that tefillah is meaningful, and that it works, it's impactful, that's clear throughout Tanakh, but he doesn't think it's a mitzvah, he doesn't think it's an obligation. Ramban thinks there's only a chiyuv of tefillah be'es tzara. This is the akka be'es tzara that's rooted in the parsha of Chatzotros, in parsha of Balosva. Whereas the Rambam says there are two different mitzvahs of tefillah. He agrees there's a mitzvah of za'akka be'es tzara, and that's in Rambam has in Hilchos Tanyos. There's also a regular din of daily tefillah that's a chiyuv d'oraisa, not just a chiyuv d'rabban. And his source, he understands that the source is Zoevon Shabalev Hev Yomazut Tefillah. It's a drasha gemur min haTorah. Matter of fact, not even a drasha, it's Pashup Shah and the Pasuk. Because mitzvahs, Rama only counts as mitzvahs, dinim which appear in the Torah Shabbat. So the question is, so I think we mentioned the Ramban, when he responds,
in the Hasagas to say for mitzvahs, mitzvah hey, see his presentation of a Zoya Voisha Belev on the level of Daraisa is what the Misil Sisharim later quotes at the end of the Hakdama. The Voisha Belev means it's an adverb, doing mitzvahs wholeheartedly. L'shem Shamayim, and with focus and with the consistency. But what do you make of the Rambam? That's pshat. Why is the lave the organ of tefillah? The pez are organ of tefillah. I mean, avodas kabbalah also requires machshava. It's critical. That's the first topic in kachim. But the core limb of avodas kabbalah are the hands. The core limb of avodas tefillah is the tongue, the mouth. So the answer to both these seems to lie in the idea that Reb Chaim derives from looking at the way the Rambam deals with an apparent stira in Gemara. The theme that the Rambam is going to derive is that the definition of tefillah is not saying words. The definition of tefillah is amidah b'nei Hashem. The words are what you do when you are amidah b'nei Hashem. Where is the Rambam? And there are many nafkaminas in that idea, two of which are the kashas we just asked, as well as several others. Where does this come from? So there's a stira in Gemara that the true Reb Chaim doesn't point out. Tosis asks it, but Tosis points out. Tosas Daf Lamed Dalet Brachas points out a stira between Daf Lamed and Lamed Dalet in Brachas. Daf Lamed says that the Kavana is critical in Shmona Esrei, right? Daf Lamed Dalet says Kavana is critical in the first Bracha of Shmona Esrei, right? So Tosas says a stira. Which one is it? Is Ma'akiv throughout or only in the first Bracha? The Tosas' answer is that basically Sassim Adukam Afarish. And Daf Lamed, we said it's critical. We didn't say how much. And Daf Lamed Dalet, we explained it's critical only in the first bracha. Obviously, ideal, more than recommended for Shmona Esrei, but Ma'akev only in the first bracha. That's Tosas. Now, the Rambam clearly does not hold like Tosas, because for Tosfos, if Tosas was writing the Mishnah Torah, Tosas would have combined these two Gemaras into a single entry. Is it really telling you one din? Kavana is Ma'akev, specifically in the bracha Rishon. That's it. The Rambam quotes these two Gemaras separately in two different prakim. In Perek Dalet, he quotes the Gemara in Daf Lamed. In Perek Yud, he quotes the Gemara in Daf Lamed Dalet. It's very clear, you look at the details of how he quotes. Not only that in Perek Yud, he says explicitly, Kavon is Ma'akev only in the first bracha, while in Perek Dalet, he doesn't say explicitly in the first bracha, it's more than that. He's clearly quoting Daf Lamed. He talks about being Modeh Atzmo and so on and so forth. You have to ensure, check that you're ready to have kavana before you enter tefillah. They're two different entries. I mean, they're two different dinim. It's reasonable to say that a Gemara is Hasim Hadra Kamu Farish. You wouldn't say that a Rambam from one parak to the next. Clearly, two separate topics. So, what's the talk of the pshat? So, Reb Chaim suggests that the answer that's one issue in Rambam. Is he's quoting, he's not taking Tosis as a solution to the stira. He's quoting the two Gemaras separately. Another problem with the Rambam is that in Perek Dalet, when he quotes the first Gemara, he doesn't just tell you the practical din that in his pal below Kavana, Chosma, Spal, Bikavana, if you daven Kavana, you better got to redaven. But he begins with a more abstract, essential statement. Kol tefillah she'ein b'kavana ein tefillah. Tefillah kavana is not tefillah. And therefore, obviously, if you daven kavana, you wasn't tefillah, you got to daven again. This seems redundant. So Reb Chaim makes a fine suggestion to resolve this in terms of how the Rambam resolves this deer. He's not giving Tosis a solution. He says, but I'll have a Rambam that's going to help you. Look at the next halacha in Perek Dalet. Dalet Tazayin. He said, when he's quoting that Gemara in Daf Lamed, and he says, what kavana am I talking about? He does not say Pirush HaMilos. Instead, he says, Kavanas Omid Lufnei Hashem. That's in Perek Dalet halacha Tazayin. Ketzariya Kavana, Shefana, this is the first Gemara, Perek Dalet, Daf Lamed, which is corresponds to Perek Dalet. A person clears his mind of all extraneous thoughts, he sees himself, Ki'ilu Omid Lufnei Hashchina. And that's why you have to prepare yourself, calm down, focus. Nothing about the words, nothing about the text. So Reb Chaim says, apparently, the answer is, for the Rambam, the two Gemaras are not talking about the same thing. So are two different kavanas. Kavana means focus, but focus on what? What's the content of my kavana? I could think about different things. So one thing I could think about is the words that I'm saying. Certainly is a good thing to think about. Reb Chaim says that's probably how the Rambam the second Gemara, which is Dafla Medalad, where Kavana is Ma'akev only the first, ideal throughout, Ma'akev only the first bracha. But it's clearly not how he understood the first Gemara, because he doesn't say that. He says the first Kavana is open the Fnei Hashem, not thinking what the words mean, but being cognizant of the fact that I am in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so number one, the Reb Chaim says that's the answer to the stira. You have stira, the answer to two different things. One is thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other is thinking about the words. Both important, they have different rules. Okay. Why is it that how come Kavanas Olam Lifnei Hashem is so much more central? How I know it's more central? Number one, well, the din is, if this is Pshat the Rambam, this one is Ma'akev throughout the whole Shema Esrei, the other one is only Ma'akev the first bracha. Moreover, the Kavanas Olam Lifnei Hashem is in Perek Dal, and that's one that's Ma'akev throughout. That corresponds to Brachas Daf Lamed. Perek Yud, he doesn't specify what type of Kavanas. Reb Chaim says, Perek Yud is where he's talking about Kavanas. So okay, that answers the shaila, that answers the kasha. But again, you might ask yourself, why? Why is Kavanas Olam Lifnei Hashem so much more central? How do I know it's so much more central? I know it's more central number one because halachically it's ma'akev in the whole tefillah, unlike Kavanas Pirush Hamilos, which according to Reb Chaim's reading the Rambam is only ma'akev in the first bracha. Number two, I know it's more central because looking at location, looking at the address in the Rambam, Perigud is about details. Leaving out Mashiach Mor Hagashem, leaving out Saint Tabat Tel Racha. So the first entry in the list is you left out Kavan in the first bracha. Left out Kavan in the Pirush Hamilos in the first bracha. It's a detail. Perek Dalid are the Dvarim Akimis Atfila. More fundamental. So how come it's more fundamental? And finally, not only Al Pidin, this is Kavan Pirush Hamilos is only Ma'akim in the first bracha. Kavan Zom of Hashem is Ma'akim throughout. And number two, the Rambam gave Kavanas Olam Lifnei Hashem, a more central location, Perek Dal Tos Perek Yud. But number three is that phrase that we had noticed before. He didn't just say that if you daven without Kavanas Olam Lifnei Hashem, you got to redaven. He said it's not a tefillah at all. Kol tefillah she'en b'kavanah ain't a tefillah. What does that line mean? So Reb Chaim says, apparently it's not tefillah whatsoever, meaning, not just I wasn't yotzei. He says that sounds like misasek. So that sounds like misasek. Misasek, Reb Chaim uses that concept to explain what's going on, and it's going. We're going to take a step back in a moment and recognize the significance of what it tells us. Tefillah as a whole, because misasek is like this. Again, there are different levels of intentionality or lack thereof in halacha. There's mezid, where I'm fully cognizant of what I'm doing and what it means, and I'm fully liable. Misa, Malkus, whatever their particular crime is. And then the Shogeg, where I didn't realize the halachic significance of what I was doing. I knew that I was watering the plants, but I forgot it was Shabbos. I knew I was watering the plants, but I forgot that you're not allowed to water plants on Shabbos. So that's Shogeg. So I'm less culpable. I'm not culpable. It might be Chayav Chatas. I still need Tshuva, but less so. Then there's Misasek. Misasek is where it's not that I didn't realize the halachic significance of what I was doing, but I didn't even realize what I was doing. I lacked kavanas pe'ula. A fellow walks around in a community without an Erev all Shabbos long, didn't even realize till Shabbos is over they had something in his pockets. So he was carrying. It's not that he didn't know that it was usher to carry. He was not aware that he was carrying. So that's leave aside onus, that's misasik. It's not onus, you could have checked your pockets. As a matter of fact, Midrash Rabbanim before you check your pockets, the Mishnah in the first pack of Shabbos. But if you didn't check your pockets, you violated that din drabana and leitze chayv b'machto yosam chashecha. But a level of daraisa, you were a misasik. You wouldn't even be chayv a carbon chatzis for that because you. It's not that you didn't realize it's usher to carry. I didn't realize that I was carrying. I was not aware of the action I was doing. Not just I was unaware of the halachic significance. When I lack kavanas pe'ula, so then I'm utterly putter. Now, there is a machlokas Rekiv Eger and Chavas Das, why are you patur? So the less robust, the more conservative view is, it's like a super shogeg. So you're patur from any onus whatsoever. The more robust way of saying it, not just that it's like a super shogeg, you lack culpability, but more fundamentally, it's not your maisa. If you do an action without any intent to act, then that action does not relate to you as an actor. There's no tzir between the osa and the maase, unless the osa has kavanas mas, kavanas pu'ula. Now, if kamina, I think I mentioned at the end of the shiur was, I believe, mesasik b'mitzvos. If it's just a patronshin, so it just it's be relevant to mesasik b'aveira. If I do a mitzvah mesasik, it should still count. But if you see mesasik is more fundamentally, there's no tzir of, it's part of the definition of maisa and halacha, that if you lack havanas pu'ula, then the action doesn't relate to you, so that's going to be true both for averus and for mitzvahs. And that, I believe, is the machlokas Rashi Tosfos, the beginning of the second paragraph of Brachos. Whether if you say Kriya Shema without even realizing that you're saying words, are you Yotze or not? That appears to be machlokas Rashi Tosfos. And that, l'chor, they're already arguing about what's famous as the machlokas Achronim, Rikiv Eger and the Chavis Das. And Reb Chaim is taking a stand here as well, very, very quickly and subtly, because he says that the Rambam understood that if you daven without kavanas omlof nei Hashem, then you're a mesasek, and therefore kiilu lo hispala. The Rambam says kiilu lo hispala. That's why it's so fundamental. It's ma'akav at any point to Shmoneh Esrei because you're a mesasek. It's as though you didn't say those words. Whatever part of Shmoneh Esrei you weren't, for whichever part of Shmoneh Esrei you were unaware that you're omlof nei Hashem, for that part you were a mesasek kiilu lo hispala. So of course it's ma'akav threat. Very good. But what do you mean I'm misasik? I am aware. A guy shows up to shul. He knows he's davening. He just wasn't thinking about God. So how can you say he's misasik? He knew that he had a sitter. He knew he had put on tefillin. He knew that he was saying the words of Shema Esrei. He just wasn't thinking about Rebbeinu Shlom.
So he apparently wasn't.
Oh, so you see that the definition of, unlike Kriya Shema, where the mitzvah is Kriya, the mitzvah is to say these words, Birkas Hamazon, where the mitzvah is to say the brachos. So if I know that I'm saying words, I'm not mesasek. But tefillah, the mitzvah is not saying the words. The mitzvah is the act of tefillah is amid l'fnei Hashem. The words are what you do with your amid l'fnei Hashem. But tefillah isn't saying words. Tefillah is being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, communing with God. That's tefillah. What I do when I'm in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is have a conversation with Him. Usually. So the minimum conversation I would have is the formal conversation of Shmoneh Esrei, right? If I want to add more, call Marvei is the Meshubach, and conceivably we could even talk about wordless tefillah. So this answers that opening kasha. Tefillah isn't the words are the tool that I use, but if I meet someone, I spend time with someone. So Be'etzem, we're spending time together, and often, as I mentioned, the first time you meet someone, very often what you talk about is really secondary. Sometimes what you talk about is really the point of the meeting, the content that has to be shared. A lot of times it's more about the vibe and getting to know each other, spending time with each other. And of course, not going to stand there and sit there and just stare at each other. We're going to talk, but the essence of what's happening is not the talking. The essence of what's happening is the spending time with one another. That's tefillah. The essence of tefillah is Amid l'fnei Hashem. So that's Miyashev. Let's put the pieces together. That's Miyashev number one. How is it meaningful? How is it conceivable that the tefillah can encompass formal Shmoneh Esrei, informal conversations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and wordless Tkiyah Shofar? And it says, they're all Amid l'fnei Hashem. Different things, I'm doing different things, saying different things, or not saying anything, while I'm Amid l'fnei Hashem. Number one. Number two, The Brisa and Tainus that Sifrei quoted in Tainus Daf Beis is gorgeous. The core organ, the core limb of tefillah is the heart and mind. When I'm mispala, I also speak, but at its core, it's that I am in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an experience of the heart and mind. That is Avodah Shebelev. The lev isn't just an added feature as is by Karbanos. It is the essence of what's going on. Number three, this is Miyashev, the Stirin Rambams, gorgeously. And it explains, which really Stirin Gemaras. Like, and now I understand that Kavanos Pirushimusa is important, but it's not necessarily Ma'akev. So Chazal said, it's Ma'akev in the first bracha. Obviously, it's ridiculous to stand in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say words and not know, think what you're talking about. It's pretty embarrassing, but you're still Yosef Tefillah. But if you didn't realize that you're standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're a Mesasik. I knew I was saying words, but davening is not saying words. Davening is Amid l'fnei Hashem. If you didn't realize you're Amid l'fnei Hashem, then the kilo is bala. That's why the Rama has both nuschos, not just practicing guy redaven. He's telling you this is the hagdara of chila. You're a masasik if not. And then this idea of the etzim hagdara of chila is amidah v'nei Hashem, and the text, the speaking is what we do when we're davening. It's method, it's tool. It's not the essence of what tefillah is. Not only does it explain how you can have formal, informal, and unspoken tefillah, number one. Number two, it explains why we refer to it as avodah shebelev, unlike karbanos. And number three, it explains the difference between karbanos omer lefnei Hashem versus karbanos pirush hamilah. So why karbanos omer lefnei Hashem is so central ma'akiv throughout, because otherwise you're a masasek. And why, therefore, the Rambam says, "Kol tefillah the kavanah tefillah." In addition to those three points of informal tefillah and avodah shebelev and kavanah, it also solves several other problems as well. In other words, there are several other nafkaminas. Nafkamina number four is the question of hefsek. Nafkamina number five is the question of going back by tefillah as opposed to birk samazan. Nafkamina number six is the question of hachana and Rechitza of Yom Kippur. Let's speak to that briefly. There is an issue. Tosfos raises the issue on Daf Lamed Gimel in the fifth pack of Brachas about what happens if you had to stop for in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei because there was a dangerous creature. The non-dangerous creature, you really ought to try to zone in to stop him. Let's talk about the dangerous scorpions. You have to step away. Now you're done. Where do you go back to? So Tosa says you go back to the bracha you left off in the middle of. The first couple brachas were fine. You stop in the middle of the bracha. You go back to that bracha. And Beis Yosef thinks that Tosa is disagreeing, and the many Rishonim who agree with Tosa are disagreeing with what the Abu Dram quotes, that if you schmooze in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you got to repeat the whole Shemoneh Esrei. Now, Beis Yosef presents it as a stira. But it could be, Lefidus, it's not a stira. It could be that there's a big difference between stopping because of an akrav and stopping to shmooze. Stop because of akrav. So it's a technical hefsek. But you were over the Fnei Hashem. You were the Fnei Hashem, and then something happened. You had to stop, so you come back. But Sach, you were shmoozing in the middle of your Shema Esrei. That belies the whole Shema Esrei. That belies the whole Amidah of Nei Hashem, right? That may be like a fatal flaw to the whole Shema Esrei.
So retroactively shows that the whole Shema Esrei is violent.
So yes, I'm not sure whether you say retroactively it shows the Mefreya. Really, you were not with Nei Hashem,
really,
maybe you weren't.
The whole time you
but at the very least, it's a much more. That may be that may be factually false. So, yeah, it was. I had come on with Nei Hashem, and then it was a conversation going on next to me after a minute or two of Shema Esrei. I started listening, and then Chalil Vachasa started talking. Now, I'm not sure you can necessarily make the argument that now we see retroactively I never had Kavanah, I was not with Nei Hashem to begin with, but at the very least, I stopped being open to Nei Hashem. It was a core break. To shmooze is to step away from the open Nei Hashem. To just there was a scorpion and I stepped away. I'm only Nei Hashem. I'm just temporarily taking a break from speaking to save myself. But if you're schmoozing with someone else, you actually that's you're actively stepping away from Nei Hashem. So that may be a fatal to the whole semester. We'll take questions afterwards. So that's nafkin number four. Nafkin number five is. As we saw, the Ravid attacks the Rambam. The Rambam seems to be the Pashid way of understanding, like Rashi, the Pashid way of understanding how to deal with the Gemara and the Daf Chavtes about Tefillah versus Daf Memtes, and both in Brachas, about Berakas HaMazon. And that is, the simple reason of those two Gemaras is that if you realize you made a mistake in the middle of benching, so once you finish the first three brachos, that's the core of Birkas HaMazon, you gotta, if you realize now that you made a mistake, you gotta go back to the very beginning, you gotta repeat the whole Birkas HaMazon, because now you're ready to finish Birkas HaMazon, now it stands as a unit. But by Shema Esrei, we say, once you take your three steps, once you're done, you're done with your Tachanun HaMachot Filosofi, your Elkai Netzar, you take your three steps back, then Then we say, now the Shmoneh Esrei stands as a unit. If you realize now you made a mistake, got to go repeat the whole thing. But as long as you're in the middle of the Tefillah, you just go back to the bracha you're up to. And even if you're done with the bracha, so you're in Elokai Netzar. And Hagabi Atzmach has arrived and asked, I understand. Elokai Netzar is more part of Shmoneh Esrei than the fourth bracha of Birkas HaMazon is a part of Birkas HaMazon? Hayitachin. The answer, the Chora, is yes. And this is what the Emek Bracha points out. Arle Parmanchik points out that Lefir B'chaim Yisod, I understand it well. Because Birkas HaMazon is a mitzvah of Verachta. So you finish saying the brachas. You finish saying the core three brachas, you're finished with the Verachta. The Chazal Masak and additional brachas say after Shmoneh Esrei. The fourth bracha, Kel Avinu Malkeinu, Hatov HaMeitav. Okay, but you finished your core Verachta. So you're done with the Birkas HaMazon, now you got to go back to the Birkas HaMazon. But by Tefillah, it's not about the brachas. It's Aminu Lefnei Hashem. It's not a mitzvah of being mevarich, it's a mitzvah of being mispal, being Aminu Lefnei Hashem. So Kol Zman Yom Lefnei Hashem, even if you're in the Kalim Tzar, you're still bad. It's not Tefillah. So Tefillah is extendable in the way that Birkas HaMazon is not. And finally, Tefillah requires Hachana in a way that other brachas do not. Because we saw the Shulchan Aruch talks that basically the Gemara and Yuma, the last parak tells us that rechitza washing is mutter for if there's need. If it's the lotzarech, that's not rechitza shaltanik mutter yom kippur. My hands are dirty, I can wash my hand, or in negavas in the morning, a spiritual soil needs to be removed. How about so you come out of the bathrooms? Okay, so we saw the Haggadah, the Shulchan quotes based on Haggadah's Miami. First comes out of the bathroom, so often your hands are somewhat soiled. You have to wash your hands. Let's say your hands are sparkly clean, hypothetically speaking. So then the Shulchan says, depends if you're going to daven or not. If you're about to daven, you have to wash your hands for 2 minutes. If not, if you're not about to daven and your hands are clean, so then why wash your hands for? Okay. I think we would often assume our hands are invariably dirty. Okay. But let's say, at least hypothetically speaking, your hands are clean. So if you're not going to daven, then you don't need to wash your hands in Yom Kippur. So the Taz says, what do you mean you're not about to daven? You mean it's Leil Yom Kippur, you already came back from Ma'ariv, and you're going to wash Nogavas anyway before Shacharis. But you're about to say Ashi Yatzar. You're always about to say Ashi Yatzar. So what's the difference between Ashi Yatzar and Tefillah? So I think the answer is, if you invite your sister B'chaim, if you look at Agos Maimini, the source, in Agos Maimini, Hilchus Shvisas Asa, the source for this idea of washing, even if your hands are clean, washing, even Yom Kippur, for Tefillah, it hikon likos al kafi Yisrael. The Pasuk says in Tresa, Jews have to prepare themselves, hikon, to make hachanas likos al kafi, to go meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So coming face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something unique to Shmoneh Esrei as opposed to other brachas. So for Shmoneh Esrei, you require hachanas. For Shmoneh Esrei, you have to dress up properly, you have to prepare yourself. The idea of hachana is much more significant by tefillah than by any other bracha, because this is likar silukacha. I'm going to have a face-to-face encounter with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, I'm going to be at least business casual, but just talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. A bracha is not like that. So again, to summarize very briefly, the notion, the radical notion that Reb Chaim suggests very subtly, that the definition of the essence of tefillah is not saying a particular text or saying any text, but rather amid lefnei Hashem, explains at least six things. Explains why tefillah, why informal tefillah could be tefillah together with formal tefillah. It explains, number two, why the organ of tefillah is the lave and not the pet. Number three, it explains why kavanas amud lefnei Hashem is so much more critical than kavanas pirush hamilos, and why the Rambam describes it as called tefillah shem bekavana ain't a tefillah, because you're a misasek if you don't realize you're a lefnei Hashem. Number four, it may explain the approach in Avud Raham that schmoozing in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei is more destructive to your Shmoneh Esrei than some sort of other neutral hapsik like running away from an akrav. Number five, it explains why tefillah is extendable in a way that Birkas HaMazon is not, and therefore when you're in Elkayin Netzar, Tachanu Machat Tefillah, so you're sick, you need to be the Emsa Tefillah, you just chose it to Lo'os HaBrach Shataba, while in benching, once you're done with the first three brachas, we say you're done with the benching, you have to be Chozer L'Rosh. And number six, finally, it explains why Tefillah Shmoneh Esrei uniquely requires Hachana as opposed to other brachas, and that's why even if your hands are clean, you're going to wash them Achar Beis Hakiseh for Tefillah, but not merely for Ashi Yatzah.
Yes.
Thank you.